Welcome to Saving Animals with Blank Park Zoo. I'm Jessie Lowry, Conservation Manager here at the zoo, and in the next half hour, we'll be talking with Leslie from Trees Forever. She is the Program Development Director at Trees Forever. And Leslie, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jessie.
So glad that you're here with us today. As Conservation Manager, I always like to take the first few minutes and really set the stage talking about the role of a zoo to help save animals in the wild, save imperiled populations of wildlife across the globe. And really, the mission of Blank Park Zoo is to inspire an appreciation of the natural world through conservation, education, and research and recreation. I see the zoo as a window to the wild, a place where we can invite the community, families, schools to come and really get a glimpse of the animal collection that we have here, the charismatic animals that we have here at Blank Park Zoo. They get to look into the eyes of a snow leopard and see the amazing agility of a sea lion and feel that sense of awe that we all feel when we see these animals. But then as a zoo and as a conservation manager, it's really our goal and our job to turn that sense of awe into real conservation actions, into real things that people and families can do in their own life, some kind of behavior change that's actually going to help our local environment and that will help wildlife in need. And that's actually sometimes quite a leap. We've surveyed our audience here at Blank Park Zoo, and most folks want to come here for an affordable, fun day out with their family. And we are really good at providing that affordable, fun day out. But what we want to become better at is being a force for local conservation, continue to support all of our international programs. And we really do that by partnering with local organizations like Trees Forever. A few of the different ways that just by visiting Blank Park Zoo, you're saving animals in the wild is because a portion of all revenue made at Blank Park Zoo goes to save animals in the wild. And so that means if you're buying an ice cream cone at the zoo, if you get married at the zoo, if you ride the train, you are helping to save animals in the wild. And the Blank Park Zoo tries to be as green, as sustainable in our daily operations as possible because, you know, being green has a direct effect on populations of native animals. We also work on many local conservation projects like Plant Grow Fly, our pollinator conservation project, which I know we'll talk about here with Leslie. Also our Upcycle project. But really, the main thing that a zoo can do with the support of the community is to fund and support field researchers, those organizations and partners that are in the range countries of the animals that we have here at the zoo. We support field researchers to the tune of about $70,000 per year. And some examples are Giraffe Conservation Foundation in Namibia, Hornbill Research Foundation in Thailand, and of course the International Rhino Foundation in honor of our baby rhino, Tumani. And that's one of the things that we're really proud of, to really translate your visit to the zoo to helping save animals in the wild. But I really think that if you want to get the most bang for your buck, you should really think globally and act locally. And that's why projects like Trees Forever and Plant Grow Fly are so important to us because taking care of your local environment and partnering with local organizations is just essential to help us piece back together the ecosystem that has been damaged by all kinds of development. And so we're excited to have Leslie from Trees Forever here today with us. And Leslie, please just take a moment and tell us a little bit about yourself and about Trees Forever.
Yeah. Well, thanks again, Jesse. Trees Forever is a statewide nonprofit, state of Iowa, and we also work in Illinois. A lot of people think we're a national organization. They might think of Arbor Day Foundation, but Trees Forever is nationally headquartered here in Iowa. Work across the state of Iowa, like I just said, and into Illinois. And we have staff across the state that help communities plant trees, as you can tell by her name. But beyond trees, we also help with native prairie plantings, and we do a lot to help build local communities. Our mission is to plant and care for trees and the environment by empowering people, promoting stewardship, and building community. And it's always volunteer-based at Trees Forever because we know how important it is for volunteers to get their hands dirty, to have that connection with trees, and then get them back out in the future because they've done that project, that hands-on project. The number of times we've planted a tree and a young child who's planted has named a tree, often after themselves, of course. And then afterwards they come back to that tree and they point it out and they say, I planted that tree. And it gives them that great connection to the environment and keeps them as stewards going forward.
I'm sure a lot of our listeners will relate to this. I remember how tall the tree was when we moved into this particular, you know, family home when I was growing up. I remember a really amazing science teacher that I had in junior high, and we went out and you know, picked leaves off of the different trees and drew them, and that was just so impactful for me. Yeah. And there really is something about trees. You don't have to be an environmentalist or a conservationist to know the power of walking through a forest and walking on a trail, and just the shade and all of the things that they provide. And so really, really excited to have you here today really appreciate the work of Trees Forever.
Well, and as you talked about wildlife conservation and so much of what the zoo does is wildlife conservation, that's where we really see trees being so important because trees provide food. They provide habitat for so many different wildlife. That's where they live, or that's where they find their food, and it supports an entire food chain. And if we don't have habitat, which is often trees, of course, grasslands too, we don't have the wildlife that the zoo is trying to support.
Exactly. It's all about putting in the building blocks of the ecosystem that have been, you know, changed by all of the development that we've had. Tell us about your role at Trees Forever.
Yes, I am Program Development Director at Trees Forever. So it's a relatively new role for me, and I'm working to find new programming that we can incorporate into the work we do or evolve current programming that that we take on, all in an effort to try and better serve the people we work with, better serve Iowans and the people of Illinois, and making sure that we're just getting more trees planted and we're doing more to protect the environment. Beyond that, I also am a field coordinator, so that means that I go out to communities across the state and help them plant trees. So, and that's just me and then also my colleagues. So the job I do is very similar to what my other colleagues do across the state. We accept grant funding, and we also give out grant funding to people so that they can plant trees in their communities. So they would apply to us, and then we will go out there and provide technical assistance. What type of trees should you be planting? Where should they be going? Do you know how to plant them properly? What do you need from us? And then we provide that up front. We can be there on planting day when they're actually getting the trees in the ground and doing demonstration projects with them. And then maybe even more important than getting that tree in the ground is maintaining it long term. Because one thing to get that tree in the ground, it's an entirely different ball game to make sure it lives, and you want it to live to be 40, 50, 60, much longer than that, hopefully, but at least 40 years old so that you're getting maximum benefits from that tree. So that's what I'm doing along with my colleagues across the state and in Illinois.
I'm sure most folks that just go to a store and buy a tree have no idea, you know, what really needs to be thought of and planned for. Of course, you're wanting people to plant native trees that really will benefit the wildlife here in Iowa. So take us through the steps of tree selection and site selection and what people need to do to take care of their tree after it's planted.
Well, like most things, definitely if you're going to be thinking about planting a tree, go online and Google what trees are right for my location and how to plant a tree. So if you're thinking of planting a tree in your yard, which is probably the first place that people are thinking about doing one, what we preach is right tree, right place. And a lot of times you'll hear that in terms of utilities. So you wanted to make sure that you're not planting trees underneath a power line, a tall tree underneath a power line. Or you're wanting to make sure you're not going to impede utilities of some sort. Then after that, when we're still thinking about right tree, right place, we're thinking about what the soil conditions are. What's the amount of room that tree is going to have to grow? So if you have maybe a lower lying area in your yard and there's a lot of water that backs up, make sure you're planting a water-loving tree, like a sycamore or a swamp white oak or even a black walnut if people are willing to brave the walnuts that are going to drop from that tree. If you have a tight space, you might be looking for a columnar tree, one that stays relatively compact. Or you're going to be looking for a smaller understory tree, like a redbud or a crabapple. We would always like to see a large shade tree whenever possible, because large shade trees provide us the biggest bang for our buck. They're going to get big. They're going to shade your house. They're going to shade the adjacent concrete pavement around your house and help keep things cooler. They'll provide a lot more in wildlife benefit because there's much more room for wildlife to live in that tree, or it might produce a lot more acorns for squirrels and other wildlife in your yard. And then when we're thinking about water quality in our communities, a large shade tree takes up so much more water. The tree is going to take up water into its woody structure and hold it there. Or as rain comes down onto the canopy of a tree, and by canopy I mean the leaves and the twigs and small branches in the upper part of the tree, the rainwater hits that all those leaves, and some of it will fall onto the ground, but a lot of it will stay within that tree's canopy, and eventually it evaporates off those leaves. So if you think about one tree in your yard and then multiply that by all of the trees in our community, that's a lot of rainwater that doesn't even hit the ground because it's just held within the leaf surface of trees and evaporates back into the air. So it never hits our roadways. It never hits our rivers that way. So that's why we always want people to have a large shade tree first.
I'm seeing so many parallels to what you do, to one of our main focuses here at Blank Park Zoo with Plant Grow Fly. Mm-hmm. You know, just talking about how slowing down the rainwater and filtrating the water and creating habitat for wildlife. And it's just really exciting. You know, folks may not think of trees in that way, and they may only think of the benefits that humans will get, you know, decreasing their electric bill and shading the house and just beautifying the neighborhoods and things like that.
Yep.
Talk to us a little bit about actually how do you plant a tree?
Yeah. Well, real quick touch on selection. So we're wanting to see native trees, like you said a minute ago. And that doesn't mean that should stop you from getting a tree you love. If you love a ginkgo tree, plant a ginkgo tree. They're very amazing because they've been around since the dinosaurs were roamed the earth. They're a tough, tough tree. The reason maybe we would look down, or maybe I shouldn't say that, maybe not as quite as happy about ginkgos is just because they don't support as much wildlife. There's not a lot of insects that like to eat ginkgo trees. And when you don't have insects that eat a tree, you don't have food for birds. And it's a whole web of things that you need with the trees and having insects there. So that's why we like to find native, because native means that more insects in our communities like to eat those trees. And I bet people are probably saying, I don't want any insects eating my tree. But what I would say is that just as I mentioned, that supports a whole web of the ecosystem. When you have insects in a tree, there might be one single insect that survives in that tree. For example, the hackberry emperor is a moth that lives on, or a butterfly that lives on hackberry trees only. That's its only source of food. So if we don't have any hackberry trees, we don't have this emperor. And when we think about that, we want to have as many of those native trees as possible. So if you can find a native tree first, that's what we'd prefer. You can go to Trees Forever's website to find a whole list of trees that we recommend. And then you bring it home. And that's when it's time to plant that tree, obviously, and make sure we plant it properly. People will probably get a tree in a black container, a plastic pot. And that'd probably be the main way that people are going to find a tree at a nursery or at a store. You might have it in a ball and burlap, which is a wire basket and burlap around that tree. Or sometimes we're seeing grow bags now. We really like the grow bag technology, and I can talk about a few of those, but I'll really focus on the containers because that's what most people will find. With the grow bags, what we like is it's a fabric bag and it's almost got felt on the inside. So I bet a lot of people have planted something that's grown in a plastic pot, and you've taken it out of there and it's totally root bound. And by that, I mean the roots hit the side of the plastic and there's nowhere for go, so it starts growing around. And the roots keep growing around and around and around in a circle within that pot. And if you take that tree out of a plastic pot and put it into the ground just like that, those roots are going to keep growing around in a circle. That's what they've learned. They're not going to, a few might start to grow out into the soil, but a lot of them will stay growing in a circle. And when that happens, the tree and 5 years will probably die, and you'll say, I wonder what happened to my tree. And it's more likely that it wasn't planted properly because those roots were growing in a circle. So going back to the grow bag, what we like about that is this felt that's on the inside. The roots grow out and hit the side of the container, and it gets kind of caught in that felt. And the roots respond by sending out new roots going each direction. And that just keeps happening over and over again within these grow bags. And you get this really fibrous root structure. And really, when you're buying a tree, most of what you should be buying is the root system. People want to see a big, beautiful tree up above, but it's the root system that's so important to making sure a tree will live for the long term.
Where do you recommend people go to buy trees?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a number of different places. We don't recommend any set nursery. There's an Iowa Native Trees and Shrubs in north of Des Moines area that does sell all natives. But mostly if what we'd be looking for is for you to reach out to your local nursery and say, I want something local to my area. Ask if they have grow bags and see if they can get something in for you, and they can probably order something.
And the more people who do that, it will increase the demand.
Exactly.
And more nurseries will carry these native trees, just like native plants for butterfly gardens.
Right. Yep. But as for planting a tree, like I said, most people will probably get one in a plastic pot. And what we recommend for that is you take that tree to where you want it. And as I mentioned before, make sure you're siting it in the right location. Look above to make sure there's no power lines. Call 811, which is the required by law when you do digging, to make sure there's no underground utilities or anything that you might hit. And just make sure you're checking on that first. And then you'll site your location. And most people will see that plastic pot and they'll say, that's how deep my hole should be. And that's not true at all. I bet you'll probably dig a hole about 12 inches deep. And that's probably all the deeper you'll need your hole, when you may have thought you needed it 24 inches. So take your tree and take it out of the plastic pot. And what you're going to do is try and find the root flare. And that root flare should be at soil line. So at the ground level, the root flare should be right there or slightly above. And definitely look online for some photos of this. But basically what a root flare is, where the trunk of the tree and the roots meet. And it flares out. It looks a little bit like a bell. Sometimes on some trees that can be a little hard to find. So what I also recommend is looking for the first main order root. And that's the first root that's about the size of your finger. You'll see a lot of tiny little roots above that. But what you're looking for, what you really want, is that main order root, the first root that's about the size of your finger. And that should only be about half an inch below the soil line. I have a little saying I like to give people, and it's plant it high, it will not die. Plant it low, it will not grow. So it's a very broad generalization, but that's just a little way to think that you'd rather plant your tree higher than lower. So find that root flare. It should be right at soil line. And as I also already mentioned about those roots that are growing around in a circle, what we're going to do is take a saw, and you're going to saw those roots in 3 to 4 different places around that, what we call a root ball. It's going to feel very strange to be sawing roots. You're going to think that you're doing something horribly wrong. But as I mentioned, they'll keep growing in a circle if you put it into the ground that way. So if you saw in 3 to 4 places and get those roots really cut, now that stimulates them and it teaches them to grow out into the soil. And that, don't feel uncomfortable, just do it. And you'll see pictures of this online as well.
I'm sure you get calls and people asking, am I really supposed to do this?
At our demonstration plantings, people feel very uncomfortable, like they're doing something terribly wrong. So you'll have your measure where that root flare is. Like I said, at soil line or a little above. Your hole should be 2 times larger than that root ball. And then you'll place your tree in there, backfill the soil. Then we like to pour a little bit of water around that, and that helps settle the soil, fill it up the rest of the way with soil, and then water it in one more time, put mulch on top. A tree is not planted until it has mulch, because mulch acts as leaves, natural leaves. The mulch will break down, it'll add new soil to the ground, it'll help regulate soil temperature. Mulch is so important for trees. If you think about where a tree grows in a forest, leaves would fall on the ground and they'd break down and they'd make new soil. Well, when we're growing trees in your yard, it's surrounded by grass. So mulch helps act as that kind of like a leaf structure there. And then for the first 3 years of its life, water is very, very important. And if you don't have an inch of water per week, you should be doing about 5 to 10 gallons of water on that tree.
Per week?
Each week. Yes.
For the first 3 years?
Yes.
Okay. I would imagine most people don't do that. And so this is really good advice for people to make sure that their tree survives and get it in the right spot and hopefully get the right species to not only help with all the human benefits, but also create a little bit of wildlife habitat in their backyard.
You probably drove around this past summer and it was very, very dry and you saw a lot of dead trees. And that's because no one was out there watering them. And we don't water them now. We don't get that tree that lives to be 40, 50, 60 years old. So that's why it's so important those first 3 years. That's an establishment period. After that, trees should have developed a root system that supports them and you won't have to water nearly as much.
Give us examples of one or two trees that are your favorite that people can find around this area. They're native and, you know, provide a lot of habitat for wildlife. Right. And, you know, what should people be looking out for?
Yes. Well, my favorite tree, I bet people won't like very much. It's a sycamore. And why people might not like that one is sometimes they're very messy. They're a native tree. They grow along a river and they're just a water loving tree. And if you've seen a sycamore grow, they're just beautiful. They get huge. That bark starts to slough off. It's called an exfoliating bark. And they'll be almost, they're perfectly white underneath. It almost looks like they're dead skeleton trees, but that's just what those trees do. So I mentioned people might not like it just because of that bark that's sloughing off, and it drops leaves and it drops twigs. But you can also get a London plane tree, and that's a cultivar or a cross of two different species, and it looks exactly the same, but it doesn't drop as many things as a sycamore does. So if you have room for a big, large tree, plant a sycamore or a London plane tree. And just a large tree that would provide a lot of habitat, a lot of room for our mammals to be running around and birds to nest in. As far as pollinators, we love seeing lindens, the willows, some understory trees, a redbud or a crabapple, anything that's flowering, and will provide some needed nectar for pollinators. People often think about planting native prairie plants, and that's so important. Obviously, you need those for pollinator habitat. But what we see is that trees are one of the first, some of the trees are the first to flower in the spring, and it's so important for pollinators that are coming out of hibernation to be able to have a food source right away after in the wintertime. So planting some trees that flower right away in the spring provides a really needed source of food for pollinators. I have a red bud in my backyard, and it is just covered with bees in the early spring, and it's so fun to watch.
Those are beautiful trees. And oaks are really important for pollinators as well, right?
Yes. Oaks can support 500 to 600 different species of insects, pollinators, anything. So oak is our state tree, Iowa's state tree. There's no specific oak that's our state tree, just all of them in general. But you could look at a bur oak or a swamp white oak, red oaks, white oaks. There's a big variety that people could be planting.
I want to speak for just a couple minutes about all the ways that Blank Park Zoo partners with Trees Forever. They've just been a very important partner to us as we work here at the zoo to make a bigger impact to animals and the environment locally. We are partners on our Plant Grow Fly program, which encourages people to plant a butterfly garden in their yard, at their school, place of business. It can be a single pot on your back porch or an entire prairie restoration. We believe that everybody can do their part. Folks can register their garden online at blankparkzoo.com, and we'll send you a nifty little certificate in the mail, recognize you on the website. And as of a couple weeks ago, we have over 1,000 gardens registered with the project. And so Trees Forever works really hard to help get that message out too, as they're promoting the planting of trees, just how the smaller native plants can go right in with those trees. Mm-hmm. And also on our website, we link to Trees Forever and their pollinator species list. And so that's been a fantastic partnership. We also partner with Upcycle, and that's been a really neat project where we help Trees Forever go out into local parks, mostly around the Des Moines area, and take out invasive plant species like honeysuckle and mulberry, things that are not supposed to be here, that are not native to the area. Mm-hmm. And I think we should talk about invasive species just a little bit here as well before we sign off. And it just so happens that mulberry and honeysuckle is a favorite tree item to many of our animals. So the giraffe and the rhino get a tasty treat. And at the same time, we're ridding some of these parks of these invasive species that are crowding out the natives. And it's kind of a win-win for everybody. So that's called the Upcycle Program. And you can look up more about that, too. With just the couple minutes that we have left, tell us what we should not plant.
Yes. So unfortunately, a lot of the plants, or not a lot, I should say a few plants that you'll still find at a nursery, we consider invasive species. And I'll just add to the Upcycle Stewards program, what a wonderful partnership it's with City of Des Moines, Blank Park Zoo, Trees Forever, and Iowa Natural Heritage all partner together on that. And while we hate honeysuckle, just as Jesse said, rhinos, giraffes, all a number of other animals at the zoo love it. So what we hate, they love, and it helps us out, and it's a total win-win. But as far as some plants that people shouldn't be planting, honeysuckle, you can still find this at the nursery. You may have one very close to your house, and I would recommend actually that you remove it if you can, if you have one within your yard. I know it can be painful because it might be a big piece within your yard, but what happens is birds eat those seeds, and then their droppings end up in the woods, and that's where honeysuckle starts to take over within our woodlands. And when you see something green right away in the woodlands, that means it's an invasive species because they tend to leaf out right away in the spring and they stay leafed out longer. Other ones are barberry. That's another one we see a lot of people still purchasing.
Once you find out that's a non-native or it's an invasive, you see it everywhere. Mm-hmm. You notice how much that's planted.
And if you hear the name Japanese barberry, that means it's not native here. It's a species from Asia, so one that we don't want to see here. Oriental bittersweet's another one that we'd prefer not to have in our woodlands. It can be very, very invasive. And as we're heading into fall time, you might find bittersweet in decorations that people sell. Oftentimes it is oriental bittersweet, and it's a very dangerous invasive species. So go online. There's a native bittersweet. There's an American bittersweet. So look up the difference between the oriental and the American. And as you're looking at your fall decorations, try to avoid that oriental bittersweet.
Well, I know folks will be excited to hear, to learn more about your organization and how they can plant the right tree and avoid some of the mistakes. Where do they go to find out more information?
Certainly our website, which is treesforever.org. They can follow us on social media. And then at our website, they can sign up for our e-news. They could sign up to start receiving our quarterly newsletter, the leaflet. They can contact me or any other of our staff members if they have more questions. In Des Moines area, we host our Tree Keepers program that we train volunteers to care for trees. So if you're a really passionate tree lover and you want to come out and help us plant and care for trees in the city, contact me and we can talk more about the Tree Keepers program.
Thank you so much for being here, Leslie. That was really great information. And that's all the time that we have for today. Don't forget that Blank Park Zoo is open year-round, and you can learn all about the zoo, including information about our animals and special events and previous episodes of this show on blankparkzoo.com. Make sure you check out the zoo's YouTube channel and Facebook page for updates, and join us next time on Saving Animals with Blank Park Zoo.